Welcome to the next in Journeying Through the Bible. Today's teaching, we are going to be looking at the story of Gideon, where we left off from last week. And we are going to be reading from Judges chapter 6, verses 25 to 32. Let's just commit this teaching to the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, I thank you for your precious word. Thank you, Father God, for the integrity of your word. Thank you for truth. I pray today that as these scriptures are looked at, Father, I thank you that no evil force of darkness will interfere with your word and what you want to accomplish through this teaching. Thank you that your word will not return void. It will accomplish that for which it was sent, and it will prosper and be fruitful. In Yeshua's mighty name, I thank you for each person listening to this teaching. And Father God, thank you for increased wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of you. Thank you for rivers of living water. And thank you for transformation in our society and in our nation and in the nations of the world. In Yeshua's mighty name. Amen. Well, let's read from Judges chapter 6, verses 25 to 32. Just as a little backtrack from last week, just remember that Israel was in a state of economic crisis. She had done evil by worshipping foreign deities and had adapted their occultic practices as a result. And Midian had become a very powerful enemy. The door had been opened to the enemy. The hedge had come down and causing great poverty amongst the Hebrew people. So let's read from chapter 6, verse 25. Now on that same night, the Lord said to Gideon, take your father's bull, the second bull 7 years old, and tear down the altar of Baal that belongs to your father, and cut down the Asherah that is beside it, and build an altar to the Lord your God on top of this mountain, with stones laid down in an orderly way. Then take the second bull and offer a burnt sacrifice using the wood of the Asherah, which you shall cut down. Then Gideon took 10 men of his servants and did just as the Lord had told him. But because he was too afraid of his father's household, his relatives, and the men of the city to do it during daylight, he did it at night. Early the next morning, when the men of the city got up, they discovered that the altar of Baal was torn down, and the Asherah which was beside it was cut down, and the second bull was offered on the altar which had been built. So they said to one another, "Who has done this thing?" When they searched about and inquired, they were told, "Gideon, the son of Joash, did it." Then the men of the city said to Joash, "Bring out your son, so that he may be executed, because he has torn down the altar of Baal and cut down the Asherah which was beside it." But Joash said to all who stood against him, "Will you plead for Baal? Will you save him? Whoever pleads for Baal shall be put to death while it is still morning. If Baal is a god, let him defend himself, because someone has torn down his altar." Therefore on that day he named Gideon Jerubbaal, meaning, "Let Baal plead, because he had torn down his altar." God had raised up a judge called Gideon, who had been called upon to pull his father Joash's altar of Baal down. Now, presumably, Joash was a high priest of some sort due to the fact that it says in verse 25 that the altar of Baal belonged to him. He is also instructed to cut down the Asherah, which was beside it, also described as an Asherah pole. Now, the pole had to be burnt along with his father's bull on a new altar, which was to be re-erected instead of the old one to honor the one and only true living God of Israel, Yahweh, which is his name. Now, as we study this section of scripture, it's important to explain what these two figures, Baal and Asherah, actually represented from a Canaanite ritual perspective. Remember, Israel had adopted these pagan rituals. They had started to serve foreign gods, and as a result, they had become separated from the one and only true living God. And now, in order for us to better discern what the evil spirits are that are attacking today's society, what people are worshiping, we need, and what we are coming up against as the church, as local churches, as the body of Christ, we need to discern, and we can learn from some of these, the symbolisms and the characteristics of these pagan deities. Now, the information I have gleaned of the origins of these occultic practices or these symbols remains uncertain and widely debated, but the general conclusions which researchers have drawn all seem to be very similar in thought. Now, the subject matter for this lesson is not particularly edifying, but it is necessary to address so that we can beat the devil at his game. The Bible says we are not to be ignorant of the enemy's devices, and God's people perish for lack of knowledge. So we are not to be like Israel of old, who prostituted herself by conforming to pagan practices. The Hebrew name for Baal is actually Lord or Owner. And there again, we see it's like a substitute for the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings, Yahweh, Yeshua, otherwise known as Jesus. He was considered to be the ruler of heaven. He was known as the most important god amongst the pagan pantheon, in other words, the pagan grouping of gods and goddesses. He was considered to be the ruler of heaven, as well as the god of the sun, the rain, thunder, fertility, and agriculture. And Israel was in a place where economic reform, as you know, was desperately needed. They were impoverished and by the enemy. And sadly, they were looking towards the counterfeit Lord for their salvation. Now, Baal is depicted as a grotesque-looking creature with the head of a bull and holding a human child in his arms. He was known for the sacrifice of children, often the firstborn male child in a family line, and the sacrifices were made by fire. And this was an absolute abomination to the Lord God of Israel, and so it should be. Now, today we see similar evil forces at work in the act of abortion, where countless innocent babies are murdered, even aborted outside the womb. That is how atrocious it's got. That's how despicable it's got. Executed literally after birth. Now, according to the World Health Organization, when I did a bit of research on this, an estimated 40 to 50 million abortions are taking place yearly worldwide. Isn't that? It's absolutely terrible. The evil spirit of Baal is working overtime. The devil hates mankind with a vengeance because he's so jealous of God's great love and compassion for mankind and will do anything to literally obliterate the human race. That is why we have to know about these things so that we can do something about it. And we can make sure that we are the answer to the problem and not going with the problem, as it were. We need to rise above the situation, and we need to have answers for the problems that we are facing with these occultic powers. The Asherah pole, I just want to mention, was situated, as we read in Judges chapter 6, it was situated beside the altar of Baal, and this is significant. Asherah, she was known as the mother of the gods, a fertility god, often associated with the tree of life in biblical mythology. Her name means in Hebrew, the groves. In other words, a definition for that would be a small wood or group of trees. Now, Gideon's father built his altar of Baal under a terebinth tree, which in Bible times was often the site of occultic high places where rituals were performed. And Asherah was often depicted as a sensual Canaanite goddess. Her symbol was usually a pole, usually the stem of a tree, deprived of its boughs and shaped into an image of a nude female body. Some researchers have even said that the sexual union of Baal and Asherah, the sexual union of Baal and Asherah, was believed to bring prosperity, a perversion of all that God had created to be pure, beautiful, and holy, and the result was public prostitution and sexual rituals. It's also interesting to note that the Hebrews burned incense, most likely cannabis, and another name for the drug marijuana that we are all familiar with, I'm sure, during the times of worship of pagan gods. So they would burn incense. They would burn the smell of this incense would go into the air, and it would, you know, obviously these people would just be in the drugs would just make them just lose all sense of reality, and it would just develop into something that was totally something that was an abomination to God. And it's similar to today's use. If you think about it in occultic practices, there's also marijuana, there's drug addiction, there's all of these things that they all work together. And very often there's a spirit of poverty which is attached to all these things, prostitution, pornography, there's use of drugs, addiction, etc., etc. The same spirit associated with Asherah is rampant in today's society. I just want to mention pornography, because it's the spirit of Asherah was the worship of the nude female body in the form of a tree, but there was a spirit attached to it. And in today's society, we see that there is the same worship of the nude female body. Pornography, sadly, has infiltrated society on every level, bombarding adults and children alike, so easily acceptable and accessible on cell phones, computers, magazines, so blatantly obvious on social media platforms, movies, etc., etc. I don't have to go on. Captivating the hearts and minds of millions of people, Christians included, and drawing the attention away from passion and love for the one and only true God. Satan's mandate is to destroy family relationships and to strip human beings of their dignity, developing a shame identity, which can only be taken away by the blood of Christ and an identity in Christ. And people knowing who they are in Him, the body of Christ, we are to know who we are in Him. Now, on a recent trip to Johannesburg, I just want to mention this, that this is when the Holy Spirit, He just clarified and confirmed this whole thing with the Asherah pole to me, because we were driving along the highway, and I happened to see out of the corner of my eye, I just saw at the side of the highway, there was a billboard which was advertising Chivalry Gentleman's Lounge. And the sign had photos of scantily clad ladies, including a pole dancer. And the Holy Spirit nudged me and He said to me, that's another form of the spirit of Asherah in our modern day society. And just like God told Gideon to cut down the Asherah pole, in the same way He is telling us as intercessors, both men and women in the body of Christ, that we need to arise stronger than ever before in our fight against these evil spirits. Pole dancing, pornography, homosexuality, all these things, ungodly practices. Now, I just want to mention, this is not a form of condemnation. If someone has been involved with prostitution, or if you've been involved with, had an abortion, just know God is a God of grace and mercy, and He wants to restore and heal and deliver and bring restitution. He wants to bring redemption. He wants to bring healing. Nothing is too big or too great for our God to restore and heal. So this is not a criticism, but it is an urgent cry to us as the body of Christ to rise up in greater measure and to overcome these dreadful things that have just almost like overcome society in so many ways, and even infiltrated the modern day church. So in the same way which he told Gideon, he's telling us as intercessors, both men and women, to arise stronger than ever before in our fight against evil. It took Gideon plus the strength of 10 other men to tear down the ungodly altar of Baal and to burn the Asherah pole and rebuild a new altar in honor of the one and only true living God, Yahweh. That's a lot of manpower. And last week I mentioned that we as believers in Christ are referred to as gods. Now that's gods with a little g. Psalm 82 verse 6, I said I was going to give the references and here they are, says that you are gods, indeed, all of you, sons of the Most High. Now Yeshua also made reference to this in John 10 verse 34, where he also referred to as gods. He said, and now please, he referred to the sons of men, which includes women, as gods, G-O-D-S. Now that does not mean that we are God himself. It just means that we are Christ's representatives on this earth, fearfully and wonderfully created in his very image, his mighty ones, when we are filled with the power of the Holy Spirit as blood-bought, born-again believers. So it does not mean that we are God. It just means that we are his representatives on this earth, filled with the power of the Holy Spirit to do great exploits for him. So it takes supernatural strength to pull down the ungodly altars which have been erected in nations, communities, in church families, in individual families. And we do this through the power of prayer and also with the power of praise. Graham recently wrote a beautiful praise song for our church band, which is known as Tehillah Praise, and to be played and to be sung in our Sunday services. And it's called "Don't Descend to the Level of the Devil, Only Be Found in the Presence of the Lord." And I just want to read the words of this because they are so powerful. I believe the song is just so appropriate for this teaching. Don't descend to the level of the devil, only be found in the presence of the Lord. Don't descend to the level of the devil, only be found in the presence of the King. Don't be deceived by the lies of the serpent, only speak truth and wisdom from above. Don't be deceived by the lies of the serpent, only speak words that are filled with love. So, and it goes on, but I just think these are such powerful and pertinent and appropriate words for warfare against the enemy forces. You know, as far as pulling down strongholds are concerned, individual prayer and praise is powerful and it's profitable. Praying together as husband and wife is very powerful and profitable. Praying together as families, as family units, is very powerful. It's profitable. But even more powerful is the corporate gathering, when we gather together as God's family, united. We are a powerful force against the enemy. So when we as local church, as the local church gathers together as God's family, on a regular basis, on a weekly basis, we are a powerful force to pull down enemy strongholds and to destroy the evil that is surrounding us and to come against the evil through prayer and praise. And so now, going back to Gideon, it's interesting to note that Gideon was afraid to go during daylight to do what the Lord had instructed him to do. So he goes at nighttime. Very similar to somebody else who did exactly the same thing, who was frightened of the religious order of the day, and that was Nicodemus. The story is found in John chapter 3, and it's worth reading because it's when Nicodemus is taught by Jesus, when he asks him, "How do you get born again? How can I be born again out of my mother's womb?" And Jesus teaches him and tells him, gives him the answers to his question. He wanted to get to know Jesus, but he was frightened of the religious order that he belonged to. He was frightened of that, actually, the religious spirit. You see, that is another evil force of darkness, the religious spirit, which tries to persecute the truth, tries to persecute the truth of God's word. You see, that's why Nicodemus was afraid to go and speak to Jesus, because the religious people of the day they hated Jesus. They were jealous of him. They were jealous of Yeshua because he operated in signs and wonders, and he had something which they didn't have. And so Nicodemus went by night. He was afraid, but he got the answer to his question. Yeshua actually said to him, you should know. He says there, if you read that little portion, he says, you should know. You're a leader in Israel. You should know these things. So, but I just wanted to mention that because there's also something known as a religious spirit, a legalistic spirit, which is cruel, and also something we have to address and pull down those ungodly altars. I'll say no more. Now, going back to Gideon, there was Gideon. He was commanded by God to go and pull down his father, his very own father's altar. His father must have been, as I mentioned earlier, a high priest of Baal worship. So he takes his father's bull with him. He obviously did not ask his father's permission to sacrifice the bull, since he was going against the family belief system. But the Bible says that Gideon, he was afraid of his relatives and the community. He was afraid of being persecuted. And rightly so, because what he was doing was he was coming against the whole community, their pagan belief system. And but he goes, irrespective of that, and he pulls down the altar and he burns the Asherah pole. And in the morning, the townsmen and the relatives, obviously, they are angry. They're angry because their shrine has been destroyed and a beautiful altar has been erected in its place in worship to the one and only true living God. But God had a plan for, and he vindicated Gideon despite his fear, despite that he did it sort of behind the scenes because he was frightened. God had a plan because he wanted to use Gideon because he loved him. And God always has a plan. He has a plan for you and me in situations when we are in difficult situations. And God always has a plan. So he used Gideon's own father, who was a Baal worshiper, to vindicate his son. Joash intervenes, and he says, well, let Baal fight for himself. Literally, that's what he said. And he just said, let Baal, he told the townsmen, he told his relatives, he said, let Baal fight for himself. If he's a god, let him fight for himself. Let him prove himself strong. And so that vindicated Gideon. He was protected. And it later says that the Spirit of the Lord clothed him and he was able to go on, even though later on he still doubted and he still asked God for signs that it was really God. But we'll leave that for another time. But the emphasis here is that the strongholds of Baal and Asherah were pulled down, and Gideon was vindicated because he obeyed God despite his fear, despite his worries, despite his anxiety and his concerns. Now, as we just complete this study, I just want to mention another illustration of, we had a situation from our family's perspective where we have a lady in the family who is an occult, she's involved with occultic worship. And it's so important that we don't allow any form of witchcraft to come under our roofs and we make a stand. And we had to do this several years ago when we had this family member. She came into the home and she tried to do she had tried to practice witchcraft under our roof. And my son Tim at that stage was in his teenage years, and she wanted to involve him with some witchcraft. Unfortunately, being a strong Christian, he recognized the situation. But I actually came across I realized what was happening. And I just happened to say to her, I said, Timothy is underage. He's under our parental guidance, as Graham as his father and me as his mother. And you have no right to perform any of your occultic activity. There will be no witchcraft that will take place under our roof. And she was furious. She was absolutely furious. And so fortunately what actually happened was these demons manifested, and she went storming off. And to cut a long story short, Graham ran out after her, and he said, "I'm in total agreement with my wife, and there will be no witchcraft that will take place under this roof." And then afterwards, he even went to great lengths to write a letter to her, and just explaining things from the biblical perspective that that we as a family believe in the one and only true living God, Jesus Christ. We are blood-bought Christians. We believe in the one and only true living God. And he just gave her the truth. And what am I saying here? That day when the enemy tried his best to try and invade our home with occultic practices, we took a stand and we made sure that a godly altar remained in our home, and that the ungodly altar of witchcraft, of pagan beliefs, would not come and take preference in our home. And we have to do that. And I just think in today's society, where people have little children, you know, future generations bringing up little children, the evil forces of darkness are so great that we have to make sure that the godly altars are laid continually all the time. Godly altars making stand for what is truth and what is right. And obviously, members of the family must make their own choices, you know, when they have left home, etc. But in the home, fathers and mothers must establish the strong godly precepts so that the future generations can continue to have godly altars laid, godly traditions. And Anita, I'm not going to say anything more on the subject, but we as the body of Christ must rise above the situation. We must be the answer to the problem. We must be the examples. We must not be conformed to the pattern of this world. Romans 12 verse 1 and 2 says, "Do not be conformed to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our minds." That is why it's so important to be continually have our minds renewed with the truth, to be trained and equipped in the Word of God, to make sure that we understand what is right and what is wrong, to be able to make the right choices. We have to know the Word of God, and that's why it's so important to be part of the body of Christ, where truth is continually, and to be with like-minded believers, where truth is continually taught, so that there is not compromise, so that there is the formation of godly altars, and so that we can come against these forces of darkness, because where there is unity, there is power. Where there's agreement, there's power. Where there's agreement and unity, God has commanded the blessing. And so I'm going to leave it there, and next week we will continue with this life of Gideon, which can teach us so much as men and women of God. Be blessed in Yeshua's mighty name, I pray. Amen.